Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Eustace Mullins. Eustace is on the editorial board of the American Free Press. He's a contributing editor to the Barnes Review. He has authored all kinds of books over the years and pamphlets. One of his most significant works was the 1952 volume entitled Secrets of the Federal Reserve. Eustace, in regard to what Rita was talking about before the last commercial break, what you were mentioning in response to her, that there are approximately 2,800 different Zionist organizations operating in the United States. Do these organizations overlap in terms of membership, and to what extent are there links to one another informal, or is there a formal power structure even within those organizations as they relate to each other?
No, that's a built-in power structure. They all work together, and they're coexistent, and they all get information and send it to a central source. And that work is continuous. They don't let a thing go by.
Well, as far as this whole situation then goes, with what we should see as a real problematic situation, obviously, with the degree of influence that they have in the American situation. We are talking, of course, at one level about central banking. The influence, their influence in that and control of that seems to be abundantly clear. We're talking, at least in terms of some of the basic facts of your own biography, not to mention the story of hundreds upon potentially thousands of other people, as having been a victim of a purge that removed more nationalistic influences from the American government. But then we're also clearly talking about the ownership of national and international media outlets that have contributed to this problem as well. What's your take on that?
Oh, well, they're controlling the media outlets because they control the great newspaper chains, Rupert Murdoch and the New York Times and the Washington Post. All of these people are in bed with each other, and they work closely together. They are unanimous. They have no disagreements. And it's Israel first and the United States last. They are looking forward to seeing the end of the United States as a world power because they intend to replace us with their own operation.
Which presumably then would be the final culminating stage of a world government?
Yes. The United States is the last obstacle to complete a world government.
Yes, and again, in terms of your own biography, going back over some of the basic facts of your own biography, as I understand it, at the time that you were fired as a researcher for the Library of Congress, I think that there are two events that seem to be traceable to that event. One is the publication of your 1952 book, Secrets of the Federal Reserve. The other, apparently, involves your relationship with the late Senator Joseph McCarthy. And what I have read was McCarthy's request of you to look into who is financing the Communist Party. Is that factual? And if so, what did your own research come to tell you about the Communist Party and who was financing it?
Well, I found out that the Communist Party is totally fake in its origins, and it claims to be anti-capitalist and anti-bank. And in fact, it was entirely financed by bankers, and the Russian Revolution contained no Russians at all. The Russian Revolution was perpetrated by 300 British counterintelligence agents who were ferried to Moscow and placed on operation there. And there were no Russians involved in the revolution against the Tsar at all. It came right out of London, and Nathan Rothschild at the Bank of England.
We'll be back with Eustace Mullins. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
That coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific. And it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Soleil salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Soleil wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Soleil Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Eustace Mullins. Eustace is on the editorial board of the American Free Press. He is a contributing editor to the Barnes Review. He, among many other things, has written a 1952 book entitled Secrets of the Federal Reserve. It is a most significant volume in terms of trying to understand the larger forces that are behind the events that we see in world history on the political scene. And talking about what we were speaking of just before the break, Eustace, you were saying then that as far as the Bolshevik Revolution is concerned, we need to understand that as a conspiracy of central bankers, need to understand that in terms of central banking interests based in London that were involved in financing the Bolshevik Revolution. Why was Russia specifically targeted, in your view, and what are the implications then for the Bolshevik Revolution in the way that we need to see other revolutions in other countries that have taken place in the time frame since then?
Well, the Tsar was the richest person in the world at that time, and Russia had enormous natural resources. Oil and coal and so forth, which were the envy of the world. And so they had to take over that country for that very reason. And the banking system was not Jewish in Russia at that time. But the Jews, like Ginsburg and others, controlled the principal communications of Russia and the principal companies of Russia. So that was their entering wedge. They just got in and took everything over.
So then are we to see the Bolshevik Revolution specifically and the whole specter of communism generally in terms of just being another manifestation of the larger conspiracy toward world government that's being financed by central bankers, and that those central bankers in turn have an overwhelmingly Jewish orientation?
Oh, yes. Their loyalty is to Israel, and they consider that their homeland. And they're totally dedicated Zionists, one and all.
Well, you know, as, again, as we look at this whole thing, what is absolutely terrifying when one reads history through that sort of a grid is to see the extent, apparently, in which in country after country, talking about what happened in the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, and to compare that with what's happening in the United States now, where arguably you have a situation where our institutions have been weakened, nationalistic forces within our own country have been removed from the scene or eliminated or marginalized in terms of their influence across the board in American culture and political structures and news media and so forth. And that in that regard, are we to see the central banking forces that are driving us toward world government and that presumably have an ideological affiliation with world Jewry and with Zionism, are they going to be as successful here as they were in the first part of the 20th century in Bolshevizing Russia?
No, because the example of Russia, we've learned something of that. I've told my audiences for the last 20 years that we're in the same position now that Russia was in 1912. Russia was a very wealthy, powerful country, and the people seemed secure, and they had no fears about anything. They had a large Jewish population, which was agitating for revolution, but they just ignored them. They thought they were a little of no importance. And the American people are in the same position now. We think that we're prosperous. We think things are going well. And the fact is that we're on the verge of a complete takeover in this country.
Well, yeah, it would certainly seem that way to me. I mean, as I watch this whole thing unfold, we are, I would guess, between what has happened internationally with the committing of these American military troops into Central Asia, the Middle East, under circumstances that have hardly proven to be auspicious for us in the last three and a half or 4 years. And then I look at what has happened in the United States domestically just in the last 4 or 5 years, say the last 5 years since 9/11, are we to see all of this as merely a continuation of the earlier struggle that you experienced yourself in the 1950s?
Oh, yes. The 1950s, nationalist sentiment in the United States was just being wiped out in front of our eyes. Every organization was broken up, and its funding was disappeared, and we were just going downhill all the time, and I've seen that accelerated in recent years. And in fact, we don't need a Bolshevik Revolution in this country because the Washington government is the Bolshevik Revolution, and that is our principal enemy. And Joe McCarthy found that out. He found that the headquarters of world communism was right in Washington, D.C. And because he found out that truth and began the erosion of communist power in this country, he's hated this day more bitterly than when he was alive.
Yes, and you know, as I look through some of the elements in your own biography, it's very apparent that something key happened at that time in the 1950s. Was the decline in the fortunes of Robert Taft in the Republican Party and the elevation of the more internationally oriented Dwight Eisenhower, was that a part of this whole situation, too, in your view?
Oh, it was indeed. The defeat of Taft was one of the crucial events in this country. And I remember H.L. Hunt, the oil man, I was working for him at that time. He went to Chicago and spent a a large part of his fortune to try to get Taft elected. And they just, the bankers beat him out because they just didn't have that kind of money.
Yes, and is it, you know, it would seem to me that a number of historians have made the point that with the demise of Taft's fortunes in the Republican Party and the whole issue of the Bricker Amendment in the 1950, that those were two turning points in moving the United States away from a traditionalist nationalist understanding of our situation as an independent nation state, and began to move us more and more in the direction of the kind of internationalism that we're seeing now with the UN and the World Bank and NAFTA and GATT and the World Trade Organization. Is that a fair interpretation of history?
Oh, it certainly is. And the defeat of Taft was also the rise of Alger Hiss, because Alger Hiss became practically the dictator of the United States through the Washington government.
And in looking at the whole question of Alger Hiss, I have read Whitaker Chambers' book Witness, not recently, but I have read it. Are we to see Alger Hiss's persona as is typical of the larger infiltration of our governmental and cultural institutions? Hiss himself was Jewish, was he not?
Well, his wife was Jewish.
His wife was Jewish. That's right.
Yes. But Hiss himself was chosen by Franklin D. Roosevelt as the next communist president of the United States, the first communist president.
And, yes, and interestingly enough, it seems to me that when we talk about the United Nations in contemporary American culture, for real obvious reasons, the name Alger Hiss is conveniently omitted from these conversations in contemporary American textbooks and obviously in media discussions of the UN. It would be pretty clear as to why that historical omission would be deliberate, I would think.
Oh, I was in last week. I was in California, and I was in the Fairmount Hotel, where Alger Hiss wrote the Charter of the United Nations, and I was in the very room that it was written in, and the people who were reading were Edward Stettinius, a partner of J.P. Morgan, and Alger Hiss, and the leading people in the Washington establishment.
Yes, and in looking at that whole period of time then, as I have tried to do just a brief survey of it in my own mind before our interview today, Eustace, when I look at the comparisons between certain things in your own biography and what has recently befallen Lieutenant Commander John Sharp in the United States Navy in terms of what has happened to him, there is credible evidence that Sharp's situation in the Navy was something that involved the activities of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is run by a guy by the name of Morris Dees, D-E-E-S.
Oh, yes, the Southern Poverty Crowd. That's a very vicious site.
and in turn, from what Michael Collins Piper has shared in his book, The Judas Goats, the Southern Poverty Law Center seems to be very closely affiliated with the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. Now,
yes, they are a joint operation.
What I understand you have had a lot of trouble with them over the years, meaning the ADL. Share with us some of your own personal experiences with them and the methodology that they utilize, and what it's meant to your own career, to your own life.
Well, it was a great shock to me because I had served in the United States Air Force during World War II, and I thought this country was still being run by Americans. But I realized this ADL crowd, in my recent tour of California I just returned from, I was sponsored to speak at the Congregational Unitarian Church, and they had 26 calls from the ADL, and they were forced to cancel my appearance there, and I had another one at a theater. They got 16 calls from the ADL, and they were forced to cancel my speech there. So these people are tireless, and they work in numbers, and they go after you hammer and tongs until they get you out of their way.
We'll be back with Eustace Mullins. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole Salt Lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYWellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole Wellness products, created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274, 866-497-0274.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. They're going to be bringing Mark Dankos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South. We also wish to greet new listeners of this hour of the show. To the fact that we have Eustace Mullins on. Eustace is on the editorial board of the American Free Press. He's a contributing editor to the Barnes Review. Among many, many other things, he has authored the 1952 book Secrets of the Federal Reserve. And we've been talking about all kinds of things in the show's first hour and a half in regard to what is happening on the world scene and the way in which we need to interpret these events in terms of the historical grid that Eustace certainly lays down for us in his book, Secrets of the Federal Reserve, as well as several other works that he has authored, including The Curse of Canaan, A Demonology of History, which is a 1987 volume, in which he sets forth the theory that an occult conspiracy founded in ancient Babylon controls the world monetary system, evidence of which he sees in Talmudic and Kabbalistic literature. Eustace, we talked just a little bit about 9/11 and your feeling that it was an inside job, that the Israeli Mossad was directly involved, and presumably this served Israel's interest in several ways. I have noticed in trying to read some of your biographical details on the World Wide Web that the name Fletcher Prouty comes up. Fletcher, of course, is someone who apparently has known a great deal about the, among many other things, the assassination of John Kennedy. Do you believe, Eustace, as Michael Collins Piper does, that the president's assassination in Dallas in 1963 was directly related to both central banking as well as to Jewish interests?
Oh, it was indeed. There's no question about it. And Prouty was in on a lot of things because he's close to the people at the top. And I worked closely with Prouty over a number of years, and I never found him to be wrong on anything. In fact, his book exposing all this was bought up by the CIA and disposed of, and they had to reprint it later on again.
What is the title of that book?
I'm trying to think at the moment that something about the CIA, I believe.
Okay.
A revelation of his experiences and secret work.
Yes, and apparently you and Prouty at one time or another were writing for a publication entitled Criminal Politics.
Oh, yes. I still write for them. And, in fact, his name is still carried on the masthead, although he's gone from us now.
Yes. Well, in terms of this whole business of the Kennedy assassination, you know, I've had several people suggest to me that an executive order that Kennedy issued in 1963 designed to begin to remove the influence of the Federal Reserve Board was one aspect of what was behind his assassination. Michael Collins Piper, of course, in his book Final Judgment, brings in the angle of the Israeli nuclear program and the fact that Kennedy was trying to convince Ben-Gurion that Israel needed to bring that program under International Atomic Energy Agency inspection. Are those the two basic constituencies behind Kennedy's death, in your view, that have a Jewish connection?
Oh, they certainly are. In fact, Kennedy's assassination was directly linked. He talked to one of his advisors and he said about his legacy to the American people. And his advisor told him, well, the one thing you can do which would ensure the admiration of the American people is to get the Federal Reserve System off the backs of the American people. They'll put up a statue to you in every town in the United States. And so he was convinced of that, and that launched him on his fateful course.
Yes, and I don't have the exact number of the executive order in front of me that Kennedy issued, but it is factual that he did issue this executive order, and it was designed apparently to return monetary policy to the U.S. Congress to get it out of the hands of the Federal Reserve. And, you know, many people believe, of course, that this was the ultimate act in his presidency that resulted in his demise. And yet we hear absolutely nothing about this for very obvious reasons in most
of... That's been shoved under the rug. But it is a fact, and I know people who knew him who said that he was sincere in his beliefs to bring about a reform because his father was... head bank examiner for the state of Massachusetts, and he knew all the dirty work of the bankers were going to take on, and he was going to go after them.
Well, you know, as we look at this whole situation now, you know, keeping in mind the context of the Kennedy assassination, as you understand that, thinking about the what many, including yourself, believe was the Israeli connection to the 9/11 attacks, and with everything that has followed that, are we to see this conflict, this side of eternity, as a largely hopeless one because of the power that these people have in banking, the power they obviously have in news media, the control that they have within the American government? Or is there reason to believe that we can still return to the older republic? I want to take that theme up with you when we come back, Eustace. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Eustace Mullins. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
That coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific. And it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole Saltlands, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYWellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole Wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274, 866-497-0274.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Eustace Mullins, author of Secrets of the Federal Reserve. Eustace is on the editorial board of the American Free Press. He is a contributing editor to the Barnes Review. And I want to ask him in a follow-up question to what we were talking about before the break, and then we'll take some callers, what he thinks about this idea that the power that these people have, arguably, in the American news media, and for that matter, in international news media, the power that they have through a series of world governments, including our own, and the ability that they have to manipulate events and to control the spin on the information that pertains to those events is so overwhelmingly significant that there is nothing this side of eternity that is that can be done to weaken their stranglehold on the process. What do you think of that, Eustace? Is this a hopeless situation before the second coming of Christ, or are we talking about something where there is some reason to believe that there are still opportunities to resist this? What's your take on that? Okay. Eustace, you still there? Eustace? Okay, thanks. Why don't we go ahead and take a caller while we're waiting for Eustace to get back on the line. Don in Oregon, you're on the line for Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, sir. I was wanting to ask Eustace this question, but I can alter the approach I'm going to make here. I've got a book in front of me, The History of the Jews, written by Solomon Grazel. And that was the question I wanted to ask Eustace, if he knew of a man by the name of Solomon
Grazel.
Solomon Grazel, G-R-A-Y.
No, I don't know that name.
Z-E-L. Anyway, he is the author of a book known as The History of the Jews, put out by the Jewish Publication Society of America in 1947. It was copyrighted. I managed to pick this book up at an estate sale in Portland, Oregon, of a Jewish family. And I'd like to read this is it's an absolute corroboration, Eustace, of what you're saying about this certain sect of people known as the Zionists. Here's a portion of the last paragraph of the book, 800-page book. Today, the foundation of a new world order, or the foundations of a new world order, are being laid. We are moving toward an age which holds the promise of one world enjoying abundance and peace, justice and happiness. But much remains to be suffered before mankind achieves these goals. I just felt that this was a very apropos thing to read on air this morning. I mean, this is something that was put out in 1947 by a Jewish author to promote the One World Order. Exactly, I believe, Eustace, what you're talking about.
Oh, it falls right into place. Well, Jerome Katz's History of the Jews says virtually the same thing, and that's some work that I've quoted from many times.
This is writing, so to speak, from the horse's mouth.
Yes, it really is.
And the other thing is, what you're talking about, the Babylonian connection of banking, I managed to pick up a book from Alexander Hamilton Institute Publications on Modern Business. It's a book written in the same era, and it talks about the temple banking that came 2,000 years before Christ, around the time of the promulgation of the Code of Hammurabi. And at that time, it talks about the temple banking and the fact that banking practices today are basically just a continuation of that Babylonian banking establishment some 2,000 years before Christ.
Yeah, the whole system has worked for them. They've stuck with it all the time.
So, the last thing, this is something that I have researched myself over the years. I feel very strongly about that. If you research the scriptures thoroughly, you'll find that the Sabaeans, those were the commercial agents that were brought in by the Queen of Sheba into Solomon's court. You never hear of the Sabaeans in the New Testament.
No, indeed, I never have.
Conversely, you never hear about the Pharisees in the Old Testament. There's not one cite about the Pharisees in the Old Testament. And, of course, the Pharisees were the ones who took the Talmudic teachings to Khazaria to train the Khazars to teach them the Babylonian Jewish teachings, which are the Jews that I believe the Russians were so amused about that you talked earlier in the program about in Russia that were never really a big threat until they were subsidized by the English Talmudists through the Rothschild connection. But I just find it very ironic that no one in the church has been able to research the continuation of these commercial priests that came out of Babylon through the Sabaeans continued on into Solomon's court and continued on as Pharisees into the Jesuit order today.
Well, the most important part of Christ's teaching is when he went to clean out the temple on Sundays where the bankers were there to have their tables.
And they weren't called Sabines then. They were called Pharisees.
Oh, yes.
But I just find it ironic that no one that I've ever talked to has found this connection.
No, it looks like they missed it entirely.
Well, I just wanted to impart that to you, sir, and I very much appreciate the hard work you put in over the years. And, Dan, you have an excellent program. I thank you.
Thank you, Don. John in Alabama, you're on the line for Eustace Mullins. Go ahead, John.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning, Eustace.
Good morning.
I have two topics I would like for you, if you can, to comment on. One topic seems to have gone down the Orwellian hole, and that was on the day before September 11th. There was a story with Donald Rumsfeld discussing the fact that $2.3 trillion, not billion, trillion dollars was unaccounted for at the Pentagon. Now, the events of 9/11 apparently made everyone forget about that topic the day before. In my reading, I am now convinced that the Cold War was obviously made up, and I think the United States was supporting the Soviet Union during this whole period of time, and I'm just wondering, do you see a connection between $2.3 trillion that the Pentagon cannot account for and maybe that money having been used to support the Soviet Union over the 40 years, 50 years of the Cold War?
The Cold War itself, according to Norman Potteretz, who was the editor of Commentary Magazine and a leading Jewish publicist, he says in his autobiography that the Cold War was invented to rearm Israel and to enable Israel to attack the Arabs.
Do you see a connection in any way with this the trillions of dollars that is unaccounted for, either going to then maybe Israel as well as the Soviet Union to keep it up as a paper tiger, as an adversary to the United States?
Yeah, that was all artificially done, and it was done actually by Winston Churchill, because Winston Churchill was a lifelong Zionist, and he knew that the Zionists had to be financed in order to keep the Israel going. That was part of the undeclared war against the United States.
One other item I want to know if you could comment on, Eustace. I have been for the last 15 years a student of Austrian economics, and I wonder if you might comment. I know Murray Rothbard wrote a couple of books, one, The Case Against the Fed, and he discussed the original bankers that made up the, or that got the Federal Reserve Act passed, and so on. I wonder if you might discuss pro and con your thoughts on Mises and Rothbard and the Austrian School of Economics in general.
Well, the Austrian School of Economics was the mainstay of the central bankers take over the entire world. That was the window through which they came.
Could you go into a little, maybe a detail, or explaining how they did that?
Well, the Austrian School of Economics was invented to bolster up the central banking revolution of the establishment of central banks all over Europe.
Well, do you suggest, or did Mises and Rothbard, do you think, both knew all of that, and or were they pawns used in a way?
Rothbard I knew, and I could never be quite sure of him.
Well, I know his parents were ardent communists, yet he obviously went the opposite way of that. Now, are you saying he was used, or you're not sure?
Oh, I'm not sure, but I do know that through my association with Lyndon LaRouche, Lyndon LaRouche's people really opposed the Austrian School of Economics totally, and Rothbard did not go along with them on that.
Why did they oppose the Austrian school?
Well, because it was the foundation of the central banking system, which they maintain on a European wide basis.
Well, I appreciate the time, Mark, and I enjoy Eustace's writings, and I look forward to reading more.
Thank you, John, very much for calling. Rita in Texas, are you on the line again for Eustace? Go ahead, Rita. Oh, she's gone. Okay. Well, Eustace, I wanted to get back to something I was asking you after the last commercial break. When I look at this, admittedly, given the fact that my knowledge is far less extensive on these subjects than yours, potentially even less than some of the callers, I nonetheless look at what I have come to understand about this whole issue of central banking and the Jewish role in central banking and the role of the Federal Reserve in bringing us to the present impasse that we are in as Americans in world history. It seems to me that the Zionist lobby in America clearly has incredible power, a controlling influence at this point, I would say, in both American government and American news media and American educational institutions. When we begin speaking about the central role that this constituency played in the First and Second World Wars and the Kennedy assassination and 9/11, just to name a handful of circumstances, when we speak of this kind of power, is there any reason to believe this side of eternity that we can have any degree of success in rolling back the power of this element within our institutions and getting our own control of our own house again? Or is it all over?
Oh, no, it's not all over by any means. In my travels around the country, I have been amazed at the little effect the media control and the Zionist control have on the American people. The American people are still sound in their outlook, despite this the educational system and the media control. It's amazing that the people are still very concerned with this and going ahead with it.
Well, do you think that in this present situation that involves the Iraq War, you know, it seems to me that in the last few years I have seen more concern being raised about the Zionist lobby and its influence than I've ever seen before, and not simply coming from the usual sources, and I'm saying the usual good sources, which would include you and would include the American Free Press, and people like Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross and so forth and so on. But, you know, we're now seeing a far more open discussion of this, of the influence of this lobby in far more establishment circles. I'm thinking of the Walt Mearsheimer academic paper, for example, that was circulating both at Harvard and in several other places, in the University of Chicago and so forth, talking about the influence of the Israeli lobby. I can't imagine that could have happened even 10 years ago. Is this an indication that with what is happening in the Middle East and with the demise of our own military and economic fortunes as a result of our involvement in this mess, that more people are beginning to reexamine this question? Is this not an indication that you've had some positive influence in this whole process?
Oh, it certainly is. It's coming to light in many ways because Darrell Phillips has a program that's broadcast all over Europe and has a lot of American listeners, too. And he assures me that the sentiment against Zionism is rising rapidly all through Europe.
And presumably this might explain the zealotry involved in the prosecution of people like Ernst Zundel and the difficulties, you know, that several of these other people have had who have been talking about some of these issues abroad in Europe. When we look at all this, the Zundel case, the David Irving case, and so forth and so on, with the zealotry that has been involved in trying to put these folks out of business, isn't this an indication potentially of some desperation on the part of those who are discovering that that the old ad hominem attacks are maybe not sticking in the way that they used to?
No, not having the same effect. They're having a lesser and lesser effect, and there's more reaction for Zundel and Irving than I ever saw in a long time. And Zundel's flight is still quite critical, but he is being supported from all over the world by German constituents in every country.
What then do you make of the fact that I know Ted Pike and Harmony Grant at the National Prayer Network have been among those who really have been bringing to us on a regular basis information about these different attempts to pass hate crimes legislation in this country. When we come back, I want to talk about that, whether or not you think that legislation will eventually pass in some form, and if it does, what it might mean for people like us in the future, and whether or not there will be a backlash against this movement. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Eustace Mullins. Stay tuned.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole Salt Lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYWellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole Wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274, 866-497-0274.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Back. This is Mark Dankos of America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Time to remind our guest, Eustace Mullins, as well as our listeners, that the next 10 minutes or so tend to be times of frequent commercial breaks, and then there will be a longer period of time for more conversation. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Through that same venue, you can go to republicbroadcasting.org and contact us with your support and your gifts through the World Wide Web. And through both of those means, the web and the telephone, you can order Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling, using those same contact points, republicbroadcasting.org or 1-800-724-2719. Eustace, before the break, and then at some point I'll take another caller in the next 10 minutes or so, talking about this whole issue of the way in which the discussion of the Israeli lobby and the Zionist influence in American policy has started creeping into more establishment press items and more establishment circles in American academia. Certainly Jimmy Carter's recent book on the whole subject of Palestine earned him the venom of the Israeli lobby. And as I understand it, there were somewhere between 12 and 14 people who quit Carter's library at Emory University, accusing the president of all kinds of things as a result of what he had to say about Palestine. Is this not an indication, again, that the old ad hominem attacks are simply not having the effect that they once did, and that we're seeing a situation where the desperation of some of the people in the Israeli lobby in regard to what they have done abroad with the Irving and Zundel cases is something that they're going to attempt to do here, not through the simply demonizing people like Carter and Mearsheimer and Walt, but through the passage of this so-called hate crimes legislation, which then presumably would make people like you and me subject to criminal prosecution. Do you think that's just around the corner?
Oh, they've been working on it for years, but I think it's more of a backlash right now than ever. And the really martial law and the terror alerts that we're under have put more pressure on the Israelis because the people resent this. They don't appreciate being forced into this position.
Yes, and it seems to me, talking about this hate crimes legislation passing in the United States, the type of legislation that apparently has been used in Canada as well as in Austria and elsewhere to prosecute people that presumably in the history of this country would simply be seen as exercising their First Amendment right to freedom of speech. In your judgment, is this an indication that the Zionist lobby is concerned more than potentially they've ever been about the fact that, again, critical commentary of their activities is creeping into places where it has not been before? We'll be back. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Eustace Mullins of the American Free Press and the Barnes Review, and we'll take another caller at that point. Stay with us.
Got headache?